Hey folks, it's James Cooper with Free Indeed Prison Ministry. And I want to talk today again about the truth of the gospel that Jesus said would make the believer free and the deception that has filled the church of this last generation. And, you know, going into the prisons and doing ministry in these different units, I see so much deception. When I started the prison ministry, probably 9 years ago, one of the units where I started, the chaplain asked me if I would be in every service on Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, they have two services, and on Sunday, two services. And there was too many ministers not showing up on time, or some of them didn't show up at all and did not call and cancel. But the chaplain asked me if I would be in there to get the men called out on time. And if the volunteer showed up who was scheduled to do the service, then turn the service over to them. But if they didn't show up, for me to do the service. And the Lord had opened that door. And for the truth of the gospel to go forth, man, I was doing more services than anybody. But I was also hearing every doctrine that's out there coming into the prisons being preached. And what's coming in with the volunteer ministers is also what's filled the churches outside the prison walls. The ministers that are coming in are ministers outside the walls. And every doctrine of devils, you know, people think the church is a place of safety. The church is a place where you can go and hear the word of God and live right and be ready for the Lord when he returns. And that the devil is the one that's out there in the nightclubs and the drug houses. Let me tell you, the church is his realm. The church is where he works and deceives multitudes. And Satan doesn't care if he keeps a person in a drug house or in a church house, bound to sin all the days of their life. And actually, he would rather keep them in the church house, because the stronghold that he can get on them through religion, by them believing in another gospel about another Jesus, believing the wrong doctrine that leaves them in their sin, is his religious stronghold. He has that person right where he wants them, because they will hold to what they believe. Man, it is so amazing how once a person is taught something and they believe it's the truth and they believe it's of God, they cannot discard that. Very few can come out from under the religious deception that has a hold on them. So many of them believe that this is from God, that this is the truth. And he has his stronghold on them. That's a stronger hold than that drug addict sitting in the drug house. Man, that one who's bound to drugs, he doesn't even have to hear the truth of the gospel like nobody else does, you know. Anyone who comes to the point where they hate what they are, they hate what their life has become, they hate what is in them, and they know that Jesus is the answer, and they cry out to him. Man, this is a cry of desperation, a cry of the heart out of the crisis that they hate their sin. They hate what sin has done to them. And this is what Christ died to do for us. This is what he went to the cross and suffered that horrible death to do, is to take the sin out of the heart, to save his people from their sin. Praise God, not from hell. This is the deception of this last generation. He did not die to save his people from hell and leave them in their sin. He died to save them from sin. Praise God. And only those who are saved from sin are also saved from hell. But a person sitting in that drug house, they come to the end of themselves, they hate what they are, and they call on Jesus. Man, he will not turn them away. He will flood into their heart and their sin is gone. They are free indeed. Free in a moment of time. Their sin is gone. But then Satan is very quick to try to send somebody to rob them of their victory. Somebody to tell them the language of the dragon. You know, John seen a beast rise up. In Revelation, he saw a beast rise up that had horns like a lamb, but when it spake as a dragon. That is the beast of this last generation which we're living in. That is the religious beast. Horns like a lamb is describing that he's the great imitator. He presents himself as the Lamb of God. But when he speaks doctrines that belong to the dragon and not to the Lamb of God. Doctrines that belong to the dragon. And he is very quick to send someone to a person who has been truly saved and made free from sin to tell them his favorite religious words that has filled the church of this last generation. We're all sinners. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be a sinner. That's what he wants you to believe. That's what has filled the doctrines of this last generation, the church doctrines, that we're all sinners, but if you're saved, you're saved from hell, and it's a eternal life that you cannot lose this, and completely ignoring and avoiding the whole issue of Christ made flesh and going to the cross to save his people from their sin, to deliver us from that sin nature that is in the heart. The doctrines of the church today completely avoid what real salvation is. But that person that is delivered from sin, Satan is very quick to send someone to try to rob them. So it is very, very important that you know the truth, that your faith is founded upon the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament, in a King James Bible, in the true Word of God, that your faith is founded on God's Word. Man, so many people cannot let go of what they have been taught, even when they see God's Word is saying contrary to that. People do not want to hear what the Word of God says. They want to hear what they already believe in a new and exciting way. You know, the prophecy of the Christ is so important to know. It's only four verses. It's in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the 70 weeks prophecy. But it is telling the mission of Christ, the purpose that God sent Christ into the world. Our faith must be founded upon the Word of God, and let God be true and every man a liar. You know, when I go into the prisons and start a new unit, start preaching at a new unit, I see from the very first service, I see the congregation being divided. I see the religious getting furious. The religious leaders, man, the more statue they have in their position, their in their religious authority, maybe a field minister in the prisons, maybe just a religious leader among the men, whatever. The more that they view themselves as a spiritual authority, that, man, I'm a minister, and they are the ones that get the most furious, the most angry at the truth of the gospel, because preaching that Christ died to save his people from their sin, according to the scriptures, that he made an end of sin in the heart of the believer, according to the scriptures, according to the Word of God, that John the Baptist introduced Christ, the Creator, to a lost and dying world and told what his mission is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He takes it away. John told us in 1 John 3 and 5, and you know, praise God. He's writing this to the newborn Christians, the little children, those who were just born again. And he says, and you know this. Man, that was common knowledge to the students of the Apostle John, and it was common knowledge to the early church, those who sat under the teachings of the apostles. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. And then he says, let no man deceive you. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, in the same manner that the Lord is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, this is the Word of God. Can you let the Word of God be your source of truth? Your eternity hinges upon you believing God. Everything about true salvation depends on, are you going to believe God? I guarantee you, you do not want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you at the cross to save you from your sin, and you stand there before him in your sin and try to explain to him why you believe what you believe. He is not going to want to hear it. No excuses are going to mean anything. Our denomination is not going to mean anything. The only thing that avails with God is a new creature. And there's only one thing that can produce that can produce a pure heart, that can save the people from their sin. And that is knowing the truth that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin is destroyed. This is a finished work. Praise God. We can rejoice in the finished work of Christ crucified. When they placed our Creator, the Christ, in that tomb dead, they placed our old man of sin in that tomb with him dead. Praise God. And when God raised him from the dead the third day, the Creator came out of that tomb, having created a new creation through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we came out of that tomb with him, a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Sin is gone. Sin is over. This is the miracle of God. It is the power of God. And when I go into the prisons preaching the truth of the gospel, you know, people tell me, well, we've never heard this before. This is what the apostles preached. This is what they preached back 100 years ago. The Reformation was 500 years ago. And after the Reformation, there was many great revivals that God poured his Spirit out upon, that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon these moves of God, these people who were preaching the cross of Christ crucifies our old man of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ washes the inside of the cup, cleanses from all sin. The child of God is not a sinner, and a sinner is not a child of God. And the apostles say over and over and over, be not deceived, because the false teachers were flooding into the church in their day. They were withstanding them. The apostle Paul said, I am withstanding them. We are withstanding the false teachers. But they warned us over and over that they knew what was going to happen when they were passed off the scene after their death, that the enemy would flood into the church. Now we're living in the very last days of the last generation. Satan has deceived the whole world. And it's so amazing. All he had to do was turn what people understand salvation to be, saved from sin, turn it into saved from hell. That you're saved from hell, and that we're all still sinners. And it has filled the churches of this last generation. You know, going in and preaching the truth, like I said, it divides the congregation. The religious get furious. But those that hate their sin and have any comprehension of who God is, he is a holy God, and he is God Almighty. Do you not think if he gives an answer for the sin problem, it's going to be an almighty answer, and it will redeem his people back to what he purposed mankind to be in the beginning, holy, in his likeness and in his image? But, you know, it's like if the whole world is running toward a cliff, he who is running the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. And preaching the truth of the gospel in this last day sometimes feels like that. You know, there has been some of the prisons that I did one service, and the chaplain shut down my ministry because the complaints from the field ministers and from the religious leaders. And you know, they said he's going across the grain. He's preaching contrary to everything we've ever been taught. Yes, it is. That's because this last generation has been deceived. Just like the apostles warned us about, just like Jesus warned us about. Jesus identified our day that we're living in by the multitudes of false teachers, false prophets. He said they will deceive the very elect if possible. Man, I want to just tell you some of the warnings that the Apostle Paul gave. And this is just the Apostle Paul. He said in Acts 20 and 29, "For I know this." Man, this is not something that he imagined or he thought or you know, assumed this is going to happen. He said, "I know this. After my departing, grievous wolves will enter in, sparing not the flock. Remember that for the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you day and night with tears." Now, why would it be that important to him? Because if somebody believes the wrong gospel about the wrong Jesus, it's going to leave them in their sin. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of these doctrines of the dragon, doctrines of devils. Man, doctrines of devils is not what you would think of witchcraft and voodoo and Wicca and all of that. It's in the church. It's preaching the wrong gospel about the wrong Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he warned the Corinthian church, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." He was warning them and telling them, be not deceived, because they were allowing the sin to come into the church and call these people brothers that were living in fornication. And he said, be not deceived. Don't you know this? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither idolater or adulterer or fornicator or effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, some of you were these things, but you've been saved. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been made holy. But being some of you were, that means some of you still are these things. But be not deceived. Those who are still these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Let God's word be true and you will have the reality that Jesus said the truth will do. It will make you free, free indeed. Praise God. Now, in 2 Corinthians, he warned the Corinthian church in chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And Paul told them that if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if you receive another gospel which you have not received, and another spirit, that you might well bear with him, that you might listen to them. I fear that you're going to listen to those who are coming to preach another Jesus and another gospel with another spirit. And then you can go down to verse 13, and he tells who these are. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." But this is the working of Satan. This is how he works. He's a religious devil. Man, this is how he deceives. He will not come to you as a devil to deceive you. He knows you would have nothing to do with him if you know he's the devil. He's going to come as an angel of light. He's going to come as a minister of the gospel. Then Paul warned the Galatian church. Now, keep in mind, these warnings were 2,000 years ago. when the apostles were preaching the gospel, the truth of the gospel in that early church by the power of the Holy Ghost, and Satan was fighting as hard as he could against them, sending in his imitators, sending in his apostles, his ministers with another gospel about another Jesus. We're living in the fullness of it. We're living just before the return of Jesus Christ, and Satan has deceived the whole world. But it has not changed the truth. The truth will still make the believer free. If you are one who is able to cast aside the church doctrines and believe the word of God for exactly what it says. And again, I stress a King James Bible. The modern translations have so corrupted and perverted the word of God. This is another one of Satan's greatest victories in this last generation, to where you will not see the finished work of Calvary. You will not see what Christ accomplished for us at the cross in these modern translations. Paul told the Galatian church in Galatians 1 and 6. Now see, he would establish these churches, and then as he moved on to the next city or the next region, Satan would send someone very quickly right in behind Paul, where he had just established a church in the truth of the gospel, and try to bring in his doctrines, his religious doctrines of devils, his gospels about another Jesus. Now, Paul told the Galatian church he had to write them a letter. That's what the book of Galatians is, the book of Corinthians, and all of these epistles. Paul is writing back to them and trying to warn them of what is happening. But Paul told the Galatian church in his letter, Galatians 1 and 6, he said, I marvel, I am just shocked that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, and that's how Satan will come to you, though we are an angel from heaven, preach to you another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. That is some strong language. And he says it twice, but that is some very strong language. And he didn't say curse him. He said he already is. Let him be. If he's preaching another gospel about another Jesus. And let me explain what I'm talking about. The gospels in this last generation, the Jesuses that are preached in many, many churches today, is a Jesus that took the penalty for your sin. He died to take your punishment, to take your penalty. And that leaves the believer in their sin. And, oh man, this Roman road to salvation, I cannot get away from this. This has deceived multitudes of people in this last generation. It is one of Satan's greatest victories in this last generation. That and the modern translations of Bibles. But the Roman road to salvation presents salvation as you're being saved from the death penalty. That they take that last verse out of chapter 6. And chapter 6 of Romans is one of the most powerful chapters in the entire Bible, telling exactly how Christ did what God said he would do back in the prophecy of the Christ in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. That he would make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness. Romans 6 is the Apostle Paul telling us this is how he did it. Praise God that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin is destroyed, that henceforth we do not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise God. Three times in that chapter is the words free from sin used. Three times. But in that Roman road to salvation, which was put together, I believe, about 50 or 60 years ago at the beginning of this last generation, and they say they use key verses out of the book of Romans. And, man, they use verses like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, praise God, all of those verses are true. And all of those are telling why Christ had to go to the cross, because there was none righteous. The Jew was no better than the Gentile. They had the law of Moses, but it could not make a righteousness in the heart. It only washed the outside of the cup. But it's telling why Christ had to go to the cross. But then they come to Romans chapter 6 and completely avoid the whole chapter of the most powerful foundational truths that are found in the scriptures, and go to the very last verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 that I just quoted, comes out of verse 22. It's connected with verse 22, which says, but now being made free from sin. There it is again. Being now made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. For, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that's only to those who are then made free from sin. You cannot leave that part out without leaving out the understanding of what Christ saves his people from. But the way they present this, that the gift of God is eternal life. No, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That the death sentence is being taken away from sin, and God has given the believer eternal life, but not dealing with the sin issue. And they will tell you we're all still sinners. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is Satan's religious deception that has deceived so many in this last generation. Nobody has eternal life if sin is still in their heart. Christ is eternal life. But when Christ comes in, sin is gone because he destroyed it at the cross. He does not share a vessel with sin. This is so important to understand. Man, God doesn't require us to overcome sin. He asks us to believe his word, believe the truth that Christ crucified our old man of sin 2,000 years ago. If you'll believe this, man, you're going to experience the miracle of God, the power of God. The sin in the heart will just vanish. It'll be gone because Christ will come in. Man, when Christ comes flooding in, sin goes flushing out. There is no such thing as Christ living in a vessel that still has sin in there. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, a sinner that is in bondage to sin, and anyone who still struggles or has sin in the heart, they're a slave to sin. They may not know it. And most people don't know it until they try to stop sinning and they realize I can't. They're in bondage to that which is within. You know, a drug addict is not, his problem is not the drug house down the road. It's not the drug dealer. That's not his issue or his problem. The one who's addicted to pornography, the problem is not the adult bookstore down the road, the video store, or whatever. The problem is within. The problem is in the heart. A sinner is in bondage to that which is within. People are held in bondage to sin because they will not change their mind about what they believe. Listen, what you believe will either hold you in bondage to sin, or it will make you free, like Jesus said the truth will do. If what you have believed and trusted in has not made you free, it's because it can't. But if you keep believing it, it's going to keep doing what it has done for you. It's going to hold you in bondage to sin. You must let your doctrine get out of the way and believe what the Word of God says. People put their trust in a preacher. People put their trust in what a preacher tells them about the Word of God. They believe, man, he knows. He's a preacher. He's read and studied. Man, that is where Satan works. That is how he deceives. I'm going to go back to some of these warnings that the Apostle Paul gave in Philippians 3:17 through 19. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." He says, those that you see walking the way I walk, that they live a holy life, use them for an example. Walk as we walk. For many, this word many is almost all, and it's always talking about in the realm of the church. For many of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He said, I tell you even weeping, and I've told you often, there's so many of them. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, these that he's calling enemies of the cross of Christ, in our day, you would see them, they probably have a cross on a necklace, on a chain around their neck. They'd probably have a religious bumper sticker on their car. They'd probably have a Bible under their arm. They probably call themselves a minister. They probably preach somewhere, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen, the cross of Christ is our old man crucified with Christ. It's God's answer for sin. That's the end of sin. Praise God. The end of sin. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Anyone who's preaching and teaching people that says, man, we're all sinners. Nobody is free from sin. As long as we're in this body, we're going to struggle with sin. They are an enemy of the cross. They are an enemy of the cross of Christ. No, they would never say those words. They would say, I'm a preacher of the cross. But does the cross they preach crucify the old man and put an end of sin? That's the cross of Christ. When they say nobody is free from sin, they're identifying themselves. They're an enemy of the cross. Praise God. 1 Timothy. No, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, this is a fearful warning the Apostle Paul is giving, that God would send a person strong delusion, that they'd believe a lie and be damned, that God would do this. That's what it says. But it gives two reasons why God would do this. Because they received not a love of the truth, and their pleasure was in unrighteousness. Listen, God will never save a person whose pleasure is in unrighteousness. I say this often, true salvation comes out of a crisis. It comes out of a burdened heart that is overburdened with their sin and wants to be free from sin. But see, a person whose pleasure is in unrighteousness, they can come to the Lord because they don't want to go to hell. And that's the one Satan can bring them a strong delusion. And God says, if that's what you want, go ahead. You don't want what my son died to do for you at the cross. He died to wash you on the inside, to give you a pure heart, to take all your sin away. But your pleasure is in your sin, and you want to believe you can be saved and still hold on to your sin? It says God will send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie and be damned. Man, this is not a game. These are some fearful warnings coming from the apostles. And Jesus himself gave many warnings, including for our generation, this end time generation. But Paul told the Colossian church, beware lest any man spoil you. And that word spoil is to rob you. Now, this would be for somebody who has believed the truth and been saved. And like I said, Satan is very quick to send someone to try to rob you of your victory. And he can do it by you changing your mind and believing the lie. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit. That's empty delusion. That's another gospel about another Jesus. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, or never after Christ. These who come to rob you will never give you Christ. Christ died to make you free. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Paul told Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." He's saying this is very clear what I've heard by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. It is very clear that in the latter times, that's where we're living, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And again, I stress this, the doctrines of devils is in the church, and you'll be hearing about a Jesus, but it's not the right Jesus. If it doesn't take away your sin, if he didn't die to make you free from sin, that's not the right Jesus. These are doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8, Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I'm telling you, this is the hour we're living in. But these warnings is about the church. Now listen, man, this describes a horrible people, a horrible condition of mankind. It'll be perilous times for, F-O-R means because man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, having an appearance of godliness. This is that lamb beast. He has horns like a lamb. He presents himself as the Lamb of God. And this is the church of the latter times, of the end times, which we are living in. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The word denying, almost every time it's used in the New Testament, is a Greek word which means to contradict. Man, they're not denying the Lord Jesus. They're preaching Jesus. But they're contradicting the true Jesus. They're contradicting the power thereof. And Paul told Timothy, "From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women or foolish women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, I remember one unit in particular, one of the prisons that I was going into probably 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. There was a man that would confront me. Man, he would argue with me over the gospel. And he was very educated in the scriptures. I'll tell you, he was a Calvinist. He was rooted and grounded in the doctrines of Calvin, the church doctrines, and he knew the scriptures, and he was always studying the Bible. But listen to this. Paul is telling about those who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, why would they not be able to come to the knowledge of the truth if they're always reading and studying the Word of God? It tells in the next verse, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth." They cannot come to the knowledge of the truth because they resist the truth. They're not going to believe it. It doesn't matter if God's word says it. They're going to pick and choose scriptures that will assure them in what they want to believe. But they resist the truth. How many times do you hear somebody today when you tell them the truth? Man, Christ died to make us free from sin. That's what saved is. Oh, no, man, nobody's free from sin. They resist it. They cannot come to the knowledge of the truth because they resist the truth. It says, men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Paul told Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. He's telling them, preach the word. Preach the truth when it's popular and when it's not. When they receive it and when they fight against it. Preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is the hour that we're living in. This is the generation. This is the days that we're living in. The church, in the most part, has turned their ears away from the truth and turned unto fables. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 through 31, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These are some fearful warnings that was given. Man, this is just the Apostle Paul. All of the apostles warned the same things, the false teachers that were flooding into the church already in their day, 2,000 years ago. And also warning that in the last days that it would be at its fullness. And that is where we're living. This is the hour we're living in. Man, none of this can change the truth of the gospel. If every church on this planet was preaching another gospel about another Jesus, it would take nothing away from the truth. When the truth is preached, when it is believed, it will still do what Jesus said. It'll make you free indeed. Praise God. The truth has not lost its power. The power of God has not changed. But the Lord will never come to a person who is believing a lie and save them. Man, you've got to want what Christ died to give you, and you've got to believe his word based upon he said it. It is so important to believe the gospel as it is revealed in the scriptures and in the prophets of the King James Bible. It is so important to believe the true word of God. And God's word is clear and it is absolute. It leaves no wiggle room for sin, because sin is like a disease. Man, it's like a disease inside the body that we cannot get rid of. But it's not good enough to get some of it out, to get rid of some of it. No sin will enter the new heavens and the new earth. You know, I've just told you some of the warnings of the Apostle Paul concerning the false teachers, the false prophets. But Jesus said, many will come and say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they definitely thought they knew Jesus. They absolutely thought they knew Jesus, but they had believed in the wrong Jesus. How do you know, with so many voices in the arena today, with so many different denominations, how do you know that you know the truth? Jesus said it'll make you free. That truth will make you free. You will know the miracle of God when your sin is gone. Man, the most amazing part of this salvation to me is the lust. Praise God. The lust, the uncleanness gone in a moment of time. There is no way anybody can take a lifetime of filthiness and just wipe it away in a moment. This is the power of God. Man, this is the miracle of God. This is salvation. Somebody asked me, they say, well, Brother Cooper, how do you get rid of the lust? I said, I don't know. They said, what do you mean you don't know? You said you was ate up with it. You said you was filled with it. You was addicted to pornography. I was. Well, how do you get rid of it? I don't know. I can't tell you how to get rid of it. All I can tell you is he took it all away. Praise God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Praise God. You cannot get rid of a disease that's inside of you. It's just like if you had cancer. Man, people think that every time you sin, just ask the Lord to forgive you and he'll forgive you. And you're starting over with a clean slate. You just do better. You try harder. If you went to a doctor and you had cancer and they did their test and they told you, yes, our test confirms you have cancer and it's bad. It has spread throughout your whole body. And you know, the test confirm it, but I've got to get to my next patient. So if you'll just pay up front, you know, we forgive you. We forgive you and just pay up front and I'll talk to you later, whatever. You would think, man, is he crazy? What good does that do me? He forgives me for having cancer? What good does that do? And that's how I believe God feels. God told Moses in Exodus 34, he introduced himself to Moses and he said, I am the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin for thousands, but this will by no means clear the guilty. Forgiving them, you know, if there's truly sorry for their sins, for what they did, if there's that godly sorrow, he said, I forgive them, but it doesn't clear the guilty. It doesn't fix the problem. They still have the disease inside of them. They still have the sin in the heart. They will do it again. And what he was forgiving, iniquity, transgression, and sin, is clearly stated in the prophecy of the Christ. The mission of Christ was to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. What God was forgiving for 4,000 years is what Christ came to destroy by crucifying our old man of sin, by nailing it to his cross. The old man is dead. A dead man does not struggle with sin. He's dead. And there is a new man, Christ, living in us. Praise God. But people believe they can just ask God to forgive them. Man, this is not the truth of the gospel. This is not what salvation is. And yes, I thank God for his forgiveness. When you come to Christ, he forgives sins that are past, but he makes it the past. He makes it the past. And a child of God will live a life of repentance, man, and a life of prayer and seeking God and worshiping Him. That's how we abide in Him. And I find myself repenting all the time. Lord, forgive me for not having enough patience with that man the other day that was arguing with me over the gospel. You know, forgive me for not having enough love with this man over here that we are human beings. We have human emotions. We can be hurt. We can be offended. We can get upset. But what comes out of that child of God is not the same thing that used to come out of that old man. If we lack fruit on our tree, you know, Jesus gave the analogy of two different trees. The bad tree cannot bear good fruit. The bad tree would bear the bad fruit of those things that Paul said would not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolatry, adultery, fornicators, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, revilers, extortioners, drunkards. None of these. That's all fruit on a bad tree. But on that good tree, that child of God who's been born of God, the fruits is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, temperance. Now, if you lack a good fruit, that is actually what the Apostle John called sins, not unto death. You know, the wages of sin is death. That's that old tree. That's that old man. But these sins, if you didn't show enough love to somebody, that's a sin not unto death. And he said, pray for your brother. If you see him sin a sin not unto death, pray for him. But he says, if you see him sin a sin unto death, I don't even say pray for him. Give him the gospel. Give him the answer. Give him the remedy. Christ crucified. But I find myself repenting all the time. Lord, forgive me. You know, when you're a child of God and you're walking with God and you know Him and you're living in His precious abiding presence, if you say a word that is not right before God, He let you know instantly. Man, the Lord is well able to chasten His children. If you don't handle a situation the right way, if you say something that wasn't what God wanted you to say to a person, you'll feel it. And I mean, the chastening of the Lord can be severe. It can be a horrible feeling that you get inside. But He's well able to chasten His children. But they're not sinners. Praise God. The old man is dead. That sin nature is dead. The old man is destroyed. Satan does not come and tempt you every day with sin. Before the Lord ever takes your sin away, you're going to hate it. And then when He takes it away, there is no way you're going to be tempted with it. Satan can only tempt you with what's in the heart. That old man's dead. He's gone. It's no longer a nature in you. The sin nature that we were born with is the nature of the serpent. But when he comes to a child of God, he has nothing in them. Praise God, his nature is gone. He cannot tempt them with sin. You cannot be tempted with something that you hate and you despise. Praise God. This is a great and mighty salvation. It is the power of God. It is the power of our Creator that creates in us that which is well-pleasing to Him. Praise God. You know, the burden on my heart is to reach lost souls. Those who have never heard anything about Jesus, they can receive the gospel so easy and be made free. But those who have been indoctrinated with church doctrines, that have pride in what they have studied and learned, and so many of them look and trust to a certificate or ordination papers that they got or whatever, they are so hard to reach. Many of them cannot repent. See, repent means change your mind. And true repentance would be you got to change your mind about yourself, that sin in the heart will damn your soul for all of eternity, and that you cannot get rid of it. You've got to change your mind about yourself. You got to change your mind about Jesus, that he is the Christ of prophecy that God sent to make an end of sin. Praise God that he died to save his people from their sin. And if Christ comes into a heart, sin is gone. You've got to change your mind about yourself. You got to change your mind about Jesus. And you've got to change your mind about what you have been taught and let it go. Praise God. That's what repent means. Think differently. Change your mind. And I'm telling you, if you will change your mind, God will change your heart. If you will let God be true, based upon his word in the King James Bible, let God be true. And anything that's contrary to that is a lie. And believe it based upon God hath said it. God will honor that. The greatest offense to God is to not believe him. To read his word and say, well, I don't believe that. If you will change your mind, God will change your heart. And like I said, the stakes are too high to be wrong about this. This is eternity that hangs in the balance, and eternity is so near. We are so close to that very, very end time and the return of Jesus Christ. We're in the end time, but what is coming, what is just ahead of us, is going to be a storm like this world has never seen before. A slaughter of human life like this world has never seen before. And during that storm is going to be the glorious church of Jesus Christ, raised up and sent forth into the storm to gather the end time harvest. This is set before each one of us to be a part of his glorious church, to be one of his witnesses, to be a vessel that he would use, praise God, to reveal himself in and through and gather the end time harvest. This is set before you. Praise God. And you men in prison, you can have the greatest gift offered to mankind in prison. You can have eternal life, which is Christ in you in prison. Most people who profess that have no idea who Christ is and have no idea what salvation is. But it is offered to everyone, and it is set before you to be one of his witnesses, to be the very proof that he is the Christ who made an end of sin. The proof is that there's a people that are free from sin. There is a people that are saved from sin. This is the proof that he is the Lamb of God. You know, Gabriel told Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that child that she carries is of the Holy Ghost, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And the proof that he is that Savior is that there is a people that are saved from sin. This is set before you. You can have the greatest gift offered to mankind, and in prison, you can be more free than most of the men who fill the church houses outside the prison walls every Sunday and sit and rejoice in another Jesus and another gospel and then go back home to their sin. You can be free indeed. Praise God. And it goes for anyone who wants it. It's for whosoever will, whosoever wants it. But you cannot hold to the lie and receive the truth that'll make you free. It is the power of God. It is the miracle of God. And it will create in you a new heart and a new spirit. Sin will be in the past. Sin will not even be in the arena any longer. Praise God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise God. This is a great treasure. We have this treasure in our earthen vessel, and it belongs to a lost and dying world. Praise God. Receive the truth. Rejoice in it. Be made free. Walk in it and give this treasure to others. Praise God. God bless you.